Welcome back to the Better Every Day podcast, where we're unlocking our best self one episode at a time. My name is Grace Garcia. This is my wonderful husband, David Garcia.
Hello.
This is our fourth time shooting this intro. If it's not that he forgot to please record, it's that our daughter interrupts. But nonetheless, I just think this is crazy that we've been doing this for 29 times already. We're on our 29th episode right now.
Yes, we are.
And I just want to take the time and say thank you to my husband.
For the fourth time.
For the fourth time.
I appreciate all the praise.
No, but truly, it is crazy that people in their day-to-day job, like what they go to school for, what they study for, they get paid for, they are not even as consistent as this. Mm. And it's all thanks to you. Like, you truly take this serious. You take this like as a job, and we don't even get paid right now. But I truly believe that God is going to take this to other measures. It's going to be big, because how the Bible says that if he can trust you with the little, he sees your faithfulness and he's going to be able to trust you with the big. And so thank you, because of you, we have been consistent. You've been editing those things. You've been working hard. And I just want to let everyone know that you're amazing.
I really appreciate that. And I think it's a teamwork. I think it comes from our heart that we want to help people in any way possible. And I don't think we have all the answers, but I do believe that we have a little bit of wisdom, especially for the people in our demographic probably.
Yeah.
And maybe people outside of the demographic, but the point is that we have a heart to help people. And I hope you guys are getting that loud and clear that the point of this is just to be able to help, that we wish that we would have this type of thing growing up, that we could have had this wisdom growing up to maybe avoid some things, to be able to get from point A to point B at a wiser pace or a faster pace. And so I think it comes from that passion. And I think when you're driven like that, it's, I wouldn't say completely easy, but it's somewhat easier, because there's a big why. There's the reason why you're doing this, the motivation, and it's bigger than ourselves. I think that's why we do it. And not only that, but with the consistency part, I mean, right now in society, the consistency standard, that bar has been set very low. Yeah. So it may seem like a big thing to like do it every week. But I know that there's some podcasts that do like 3 or 4 episodes a week, and I'm like, holy smokes. I'm not comparing myself, but I think one a week is very healthy. It's very good. It works with our rhythm. And I think it also allows the listeners to digest whatever it is that the conversation is, or maybe it gives them a week to maybe have those same conversations with other people to like further dig into that topic.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you as well. This is a team effort. Like I said, it comes from our heart, but also I just appreciate the conversations that we have, your perspective. There's times where I'm editing and I'm like, she says something good right here, you know? And I wouldn't have said that or thought about that. So it's just, we compliment each other, and I really appreciate, and I really enjoy doing this with you, because it's quality time for me.
Do we love each other?
Yeah.
I love you.
Love you too.
And so today I have the honor of bringing the topic. If you guys haven't noticed, we take turns, and something that I think I wanted to go deeper in, because we kind of talked about it, but I think there's just so much more to uncover, was 2 episodes back. And I highly suggest, if you didn't, do you remember the title of the podcast I'm referring to?
I think the one that you're talking about is The Responsibility of Who We Are.
Yeah, that one. I'd suggest you pause this, maybe go listen to that first and then come back, because there was something that I said where I said, yeah, if you're not blessing people, then you're a liability. And that's what I want to touch on. Because I truly think, and I think maybe it's the season that I'm in as a mom, as a teacher, just myself, like these conversations have really opened my eyes of my today matters. Like, it might not be significant to me. A lot might not have happened today. It's not mind blowing or like newsworthy, but it's all of the little days, all of the little things combined that dictates my future. And these conversations is like, makes me think like, I better be leaving something good behind. I better be better every day when I look back that I can be proud of. And so I want to talk about liability and just bring up how important it is. Like, maybe you're not a parent. Maybe, well, I kind of want to ask you, like, do you think an individual can be liable even if they're not a parent?
Yeah. Yeah. I think what we talked about in that episode is we have the responsibility to be the best versions of ourselves for not just ourselves, but also for our kids, for our parents, because we can be liabilities to our parents. Like, mm-hmm. if we keep, let's say, screwing up or just being nonchalant, not wanting to grow or progress, like, yeah, we can be liabilities to our parents. Like, I think there's like a societal kind of like, how do I say it? Like, an expectation where, you know, like, there's a certain age where it's just like, yeah, you should get married and you should kind of like head out. Mm-hmm. But nowadays I've been noticing more and more, it's like, kids are 30 and they're hanging out at home and just, and it's not for the sake that they're not progressing, but some of them are just like, hey, like, why am I going to go out in the world if I'm being taken care of so good here?
Yeah.
I could have a long-term girlfriend, never marry her, and I'll always get taken care of at home, you know? And like, low-key, I would say, like, you do become a liability at that point. Like, you shouldn't be your parents' like responsibility at the age of like 30, 32, 33, like, I would say, like, you should be out in the world and, you know, like, kind of planting your own roots and making it on your own, really.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then the other aspect is, I believe with every life, there's a purpose. And behind every purpose, it's always to bless people in some way or shape or form. And so if you don't kind of progress to be able to do the purpose that God has for you, then you could kind of say there's a shade of liability, because those people that are kind of counting on you, like, I mean, I think that you might get it into heaven one day, and I think for a lot of people it might be torturous, that if I sometimes imagine God has like a TV and it's like, hey, this is where your life should have been, buddy. It's like, it's not that he'll like point it out and be like, you messed here up, but it's just like, here's what your life could have been. Had you trusted me, had you just, you know, kept working, kept doing, practicing faith, faith with actions, like, this is what your life could have been.
Yeah.
You know, and so in that aspect, I think there's a little bit of like liability there.
Yeah, I agree. And just for our viewers, because we're going to be throwing out liability a lot, like, to define it, I just looked up the definition and it says the state of being responsible for something, especially by law. And I was driving and I even thought, because when I did my undergrad, I majored in political science and I had to take like political, like, like basics of politics. And it was saying how we live in a society, we live in a community, like, to be able to survive, we need to do that. So even if someone is completely alone, quote unquote, right? They're not married, they don't have kids, and say like, oh, I'm not liable, but I'm not going to be a liability. But even in, like, our taxes have to pay for people, right? And they are liable. They end up, let's say if they end up on the street, they start like bothering the community, and it kind of falls on everyone, right? And it's like, okay, now you're kind of being, you know, inconvenient for us or whatever it is. Like, so you can't say that your actions, I can't think of a scenario where your actions don't affect no one. Mm-hmm. Like, there is going to be a ripple effect, whether that's huge or small, like, it is. We were made to be in community. And so I just want to talk about all the things that, as people that are trying to get better every day, that we should maybe think of that aren't talked about, or maybe we forget because they're not like plain as day. And we say that usually we wait like last minute or when it's too late. And I liked what you said in the beginning about like our demographic, because it's true. I don't see a lot of people or hear a lot of people like from our demographic doing podcasts. Like, they usually have a lot of education or came from really rich backgrounds, or their parents had, you know, these extensive educations, and we're first gen, some kind of education. Like,
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you're saying that the people that are doing the podcast are people that came from money or higher education?
Some, or even been exposed because their parents have been here longer, and so they know United States and the system's longer, and they've had more exposure, at least the ones like I've seen.
Okay.
And so I want to expose like maybe the people who watch us and that maybe we were not exposed to it, of like things that we should be thinking about. Cause I am guilty of like, sometimes you don't think about what we need to until a doctor tells you last minute or the teacher brings it up to your attention last minute. And you're just like, oh, and then by then it's too late. And we're kind of like scrambling and half doing it mediocre because we weren't prepared. Mm-hmm. And I think part of being better every day is to be prepared, to not do things reactive, but proactive. And so, yeah, let's talk about all the ways that we can not become liabilities to the people that we love. What is one thing that you think right now that you've been doing to try not to become a liability, and to who are you thinking about?
I think health. So working out constantly. I try to work out at least 5, maybe 6 times a week. That's the goal. But you know, life sometimes lives. So at least 4-ish. But the point is I try to do that thinking of when I'm old, when I'm like 70, which 70-year-old do I want to be? The guy that has like the little walker that can barely take a step.
Yeah.
That like if he falls, he won't be able to get up. Or do I want to be this 7-year-old that is still jogging or still riding his bike, still like active, like moving a little slower, obviously, but that he can fend for himself, you know? And that's more thinking about like, I don't want to be a liability to my kids. Like I don't want to be so unhealthy where they have to like maybe go to sleep with stress, like thinking like, oh my gosh, like my dad's 65, 70, like is he gonna pass away at any moment because he's not eating healthy, because he's not being active, like the dude's like deteriorating. Like I think in that regard you can be a liability, and that might strike a couple of bad chords in people, just because, you know, I believe that we've become a very sensitive society, sensitive culture, where it's just like, no, let me do me, you know, like I'm enjoying my food and blah, blah, blah. And then they end up healthy. And then they put up all these defenses where they get offended if you call them out for anything. But in reality, like, yeah, if you don't want to be a liability, then take care of yourself. So in that regard, I do have that in mind. I'm like, I don't want to be the 7-year-old that like can't do anything. I want to be the 7-year-old that is still does have life in them. Because there's some older people that you're like, I wonder how old they are. Like, oh, they're still moving pretty good. Like,
yeah.
And then maybe you might hear it or you might ask them and like, oh, I'm 67. It's just like, what? And then you see another 67-year-old and they're not moving.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
That's and when we would hike, we'd be shocked at like the old people coming down, and we're just like, oh my goodness, oh, like, yeah. Oh yeah, I do this like every week or something. And like, we're huffing and puffing and they just seem to be taking their daily stroll.
Yeah, there was the last Spartan that we did in Big Bear.
Yeah,
there was these two older gentlemen that had these humongous medals.
I remember that.
And we were like, how did you get those medals? And I think they said that they did all 3 of the races that weekend or something like that. And they looked pretty old. Like,
yeah,
50s, no, maybe 60s and plus. And I did the 5K, which is the smallest, and I was huffing and puffing. Big Bear Spartan is no joke.
Yeah.
And these two guys that 60 plus years did all 3 of them. That was that basically the half marathon, so 13.1 miles, the 10K, which is about 6 miles, and the 5K, which is about 3 miles.
That's crazy. I think one of them said they did like 100 races or something, like the whole lifespan or something. Yeah. Like it was insane. So what you were saying just made me think of a passage that I was reading in Exodus chapter 20. And I believe it's verse 5 where it says, you shall not bow down to them or serve them. It's talking about like making carved images. Mm-hmm. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the 3rd and the 4th generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. And I mean, I feel like where I'm taking this, it could be debatable, but there was a commentary I read that said generational curses, like God isn't like looking to curse the whole generation. That's the law of like the Old Testament, that that's not the New Testament of God's grace and love. Mm-hmm. But it says that that's how powerful sin is, that when someone does sin, it's not that God is looking to get a whole generation like, ha, your father sinned, I'm going to get you. It said that sin is so powerful, the bad habits are so powerful, that it automatically goes from generation to generation for like thousands of years. Versus, and Atomic Habits talks about it, of what was the percentage, like 80, 90% of whatever your community does, your family does, you're most likely going to do. Mm-hmm. And so in that same sense of like, if you're doing good habits and doing what God has intended you to do, like it's going to be contagious and they're going to do it too, your family.
Yeah.
And it makes me so proud that you have taken this health journey, because like my son, I can say by the age of 5, is doing Spartans. And at 6, he's like, that's easy. I want to do more. And he can because of his age, like Spartans mm-hmm. limited. But he's like excited. He sees daddy challenging himself and he knows like, I want to challenge myself. Like this right now is too easy. And he now is doing soccer twice a week, plus games on top of that. And just seeing how you are passing that on, because you right now you were talking about your health journey. And yeah, you don't want to be a liability physically like to your kids saying that. But even more than that, like imagine if you were still kind of unhealthy, kind of just going down this normal path, you would instill that in him. And then he, now not only are you liable to him, but now he continues that to his children, and it just like passes on. Not only are you stopping for yourself, but now he's deciding, like at 5 years old, like if he's like this at 5 or was like that at 5, imagine when he's 50 and then his kids. And it just gets me so excited of the legacy that you're instilling in him.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not the healthiest. I'm working on it. But even like getting my body moving so early, like my daughter, it gets me so happy, because before I'd be annoyed, like, oh, she woke up, or, you know, I would like me time to be me time.
Yeah.
But now I do like my stretches and my yoga in the morning, and she's like, mommy, I could do it. And she like follows me, and it makes me so happy that in her head, she's like, I'm waking up at 5 in the morning and I'm moving my body. Like, that's my normal. I'm not complaining about it. I'm not like, that's her normal.
Yeah.
She wakes up and she's not like, mommy, I want to like watch this tablet. She's like, I'm stretching with mommy. Like, she knows that's what we do. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, that is crazy. Like, I wish it was instilled in me, because it'd have been so much easier for me to continue. But I'm happy that we get to do it with our kids. And I think it's so beautiful.
Yeah. And I think it's exactly what you just said about me and Elijah. Like, she's always going to remember. My mom used to wake up early. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what time it was. My mom used to tell me it was 5 a.m.
Yeah.
My mom used to wake up early, or still does wake up early. And she does her stretches, and I now do my stretches, and now I'm doing this. It's just like my mom planted that seed in me, which is really beautiful.
Yeah. And I think we don't pay attention to it because it's so hard. Society makes it so hard, but we become liability. And even how you said you're going to stress out, let's say if we're not healthy, you're going to stretch out my kids of like, oh my goodness, I have to take care of my dad. But then comes like the financial responsibilities of, okay, now dad's in the hospital. He's in and out. Mm-hmm. Like the insurance, the, you know, what are we going to do? And God forbid when we pass away, like it's so much. It can be such a burden.
But in that regard also, like, okay, so you asked me like, what's one thing that I do? Another thing that we do is the financial aspect. Yeah. Because exactly what you're talking about right now, oh, my dad is 70 years old. He doesn't work anymore. He can't work anymore because he can barely move. And now that he can barely move, he can't work. He didn't save up money. He didn't have retirement.
Yeah.
He didn't have anything set up. And now I got to take care of him. And like,
that's a lot of cases.
As a child, like, it's just like, well, my dad took care of me. Mm-hmm. My dad is my dad. So it's not like I'm just going to leave him like tossed on the side, you know, like I got to take care of him. But if that's part like where you become a liability, like right now in this moment, as you guys are hearing this, are you guys doing the right things to make sure that those moments don't happen? Mm-hmm. So the moments where we talked about health, that you can actually move around and you're actually healthy. To the moments of if there is a medical bill, if there is issues, if there is I don't know. Well, when you retired, did you set yourself up?
Yeah.
Did you get a retirement fund going? Did you have savings? Did you invest in your own like Roth IRA? Like, did you do all these things to make sure that you aren't a liability?
Yeah.
Like that is wisdom. It's wisdom. Because it's wisdom because you're setting yourself up. You know what is coming. And because you know what is coming, you're preparing now. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but again, you are being a role model to your possible kids, if you have them or don't have them right now, or your friends as well. We've talked about that. Like, you can be a positive influence to the people around you. But that it's important for you to, like, be responsible. And I honestly feel like liability is people letting go of responsibility. Mm. Like, they have responsibility and they're like, this is too hard. This is too much work. I'm going to let it go. It is what it is. Whatever happens, happens. I'm going to enjoy myself. And guess what? The enjoyment only lasts for so long. Father Time is undefeated. It's going to bite you in the butt. And when you're 70, are you going to be self-sufficient or are you going to be a liability, a weight to your family?
I think that's a heavy subject because it just... Like, it's like a negative snowball that accumulates. Like, I'm not healthy and I wasn't financially wise. And it just gets big and big and big. Mm-hmm. And it's going to destroy something. Like, someone's peace, someone's plans, someone's, like, their situation. It's going to slap them in the face and say, oh, my gosh, now I'm in charge of it. And I think it sucks that we are first gen because, and we... kind of touched on it, but my thinking here, it's like, oh, like it's our responsibility. But I think we're, and maybe most of the demographic, let me know if you guys can agree, because our parents did a great job, like at giving us the life that they couldn't. But we're in between of like two lives of moving forward of like, we have the wisdom now, let's move forward. Mm-hmm. But knowing they're going to one day be old and they weren't as wise as us and like we have to try to move forward and then kind of like bring their things and it won't be as difficult as if we kind of were in their same shoes and be like, we're not thinking about the future, we're not, but it's something that like, okay, like we need to be aware that it's not going to be easy because we're pushing ourselves forward for our legacy, but we're going to have our parents, grandparents, like kind of like, okay, hauling them too. And like, all right, you guys didn't make wise Chris because you didn't know. We know better. And like, we're kind of in does that make sense? Like in between these two lives.
Yeah, you're basically saying that maybe our parents haven't made the best choices. You're saying that we're first gen of like, okay, we're going to try to be wiser with money. We're actually trying to save, trying to invest, trying to prepare for the future. But that at some point we'll probably have to take care of our parents.
Yeah.
Basically what you're saying.
And it's going to smack us in the butt.
I don't think it's going to smack us in the butt. And this is more of like a conversation between me and you.
Yeah.
Because everything is just math at that point, right?
Yeah.
It's a great thing that you brought it up because I honestly haven't really thought about it. My thought, my why factor is always my kids, right? But not that you brought that up. Now I'm not going to forget it. And now I'm going to factor that in because we have time right now.
Yeah.
That we have time. Okay. And so if we start right now, now we're factoring that in. Like, will there be a time where we have to take care of our parents? Probably. And we should be prepared for, we should start preparing for it now.
Yeah.
Not wait until, oh shoot, like there's that medical bill, like, babe, we didn't save anything. Like, now we got to dip into our own thing and mess up our retirement. Like, no, if we start preparing for it right now, if we start investing a little bit more, like Dave Ramsey tells you, like, once you're done your 3 to 6 months of savings, after that, it's investing 15% of your income towards retirement, towards, you know, all that stuff. It's something that should be on our list. And now that it is, I think we're going to be fine.
But I still think the pioneer of whatever generation, like there's a lot of
there's
things
more,
to go uphill.
There's more weight. There's more weight.
Because
for
sure. It's not going to be until like our kids who then get the full, which I'm happy that it's them, but that will get the full of like our parents were wise. Now we can enjoy this, you know, like we're not going to see that.
And there's definitely a responsibility on us. And this is where like things you start thinking about the next generations, because you're saying right now our kids are going to enjoy it and that's awesome. But I've heard so many like rich people be like, I'm not giving my kids nothing. And people have different perspectives, different views on this. But my thing is, okay, like, yes, I want to be able to set up my kids, but I don't want to give them money without giving them the character.
Yeah.
Because if you give them money without giving them the character, yeah, they're going to enjoy it, but not in the way that they should.
No, they'll still become a liability.
They're going to implode and be a liability. Yeah. And the cycle starts all over again. The important thing is that these two things come together. And it's very important for us to teach our kids the values. Very important for us to teach them and have them practice those values to be able to actually have it ingrained in them, where when they do have a big check or if they make a lot of money, it's just like they know exactly what to do, and they're also going to set up the next generations.
Yeah, it's a lot to kind of, I think, like process and like decipher, because then you go like, do we need a little bit of struggle, right?
I don't know if we've had a podcast on this, but I'm a firm believer that there should be a little bit of struggle in our kids.
Yeah,
there should be a little bit of, hey, you got to spread those little wings. I've been trying to teach you how to fly. Spread them. Grab that gust of wind and start flapping.
Yeah.
But like, flap those wings. And if you fall, I'll do my best to be there and catch you. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let you break and implode. Like, but I am going to let you have maybe a little bit of, I guess the only word that comes to mind is like fear. Of like, oh my gosh, can I do this? I'm doing it, but am I gonna fall? Am I flying too high? Like that feeling, like that's where they start learning. Like if they fall and they get caught, like I'm not gonna let them, you know, completely like get wrecked or whatever. But like, okay, what did you learn? Where can you do better? Like, okay, now go try again. Like, I always give the example of if my kid, like if Elijah wants a car, or if any of both of them have won a car, I'm gonna be like, okay, go get a job. You're gonna know what it is to study and to have a job and to save. You're gonna know, because you're teaching them the responsibility of what life is in a controlled environment, which is great. Because again, like I always tell you, or I tell anybody that I tell this example to, I'm gonna let them study, I'm gonna let them work, and I'm going to let them save. And let's say for whatever reason, you know, they fall short, they had a goal, they fall short or whatever, or they're getting stressed out or whatever. Me personally as a dad, as long as I see the effort, you're busting butt. Like, I don't want them to like have anxiety and just completely like, oh my gosh, I can't deal with life or whatever. Like, I don't want them to get that point, right? But as long as I see an effort, it's going to get to a point where maybe he's like, Dad, this is just too hard. Like, I'm trying, and I hope you see that I'm trying. And for me to genuinely be connected to him or her and be like, I see your heart and I see that you're actually trying. And you know what? How much do you have? How much is the car that you want? 5,000. How much do you have? 3,500, 4,000. You know what? I see your effort. And this is where I do my part as a father, and I'll put the other 1,000. And you at least know that you busted butt for that thing. It costs you sweat.
Yeah.
It costs you hard work. It costs you dedication and determination. And the moment they get the reward, that all those feelings are affirmed, and they start knowing, like, for me to gain anything in life, it's going to take work and dedication.
That's good. And I think that's such a fine line to balance. And one could just like pray and hope that we're on that path. Yeah. I mean, and I think I see it a lot as like a teacher, where it's sad because so many parents have sacrificed and left their lives behind, to give kind of the kids new life, and they kind of just walk all over it and trample it and don't see the sacrifice that it took. And they're just like, I'm just going to do whatever. Everything comes to me. And that's a horrible attitude. And it's like, are your kids a liability or are they a blessing to you? Because there can be a point where they're just ungrateful, demanding, where mm-hmm. it makes your life a living hell. And you're just like, oh my goodness, like, what the heck did I get myself into?
Not what you got yourself into. What did I create?
Yeah, what did I create? And God says that they're the reward of, like, they're our inheritance. They're the reward of our womb. And that should be blessings. And if done correctly, and if we show them God's word where it says, like, teach them and they will not depart from my ways, like, they will be such a blessing to not only us as parents, but how we say, like, to the whole community. Or they could be, how we said, liabilities to everyone they meet. Mm-hmm. I think everyone can be a liability. A kid, parent, family members, to society, to schools. Mm-hmm. And parents, and I'm saying, like, this is a small example, but, like, parents don't understand. And it's sad because there's students that, like, they just struggle and they kind of just give up because they don't believe in themselves. But even in, like, group work, like, you can't even, I try to pair up kids and it's like, I feel bad because someone is going to get stuck with someone who just doesn't try. Yeah. And you're just like, I'm sorry, that's your partner. And they're just like, I'm going to have to work double hard. Like, you're, in society, that's how it is. Like, if there's people that bring us low, but that's with our taxes or, like, our coworkers, like, we see them all around us. And it's like, we want to, as parents, as citizens, like, just make sure we're building good people, that we are good people that can build good people. Mm-hmm. And it's like a biblical concept in Proverbs. This is like, leave a good legacy. I think that's what we're called to do. And I'm sure it's not easy. Like, we've said it.
Yeah.
It is not easy, this path that we do. And I brought this up too, cause I was telling you, like, we need to be held accountable too. Cause one of the things we've been lagging, and I'm going to say it to hopefully you guys bring accountability to us, because we've been saying we need to do a will. We need to do it.
Oh, mm-hmm.
That is something that...
I wasn't sure what you were going to say.
What did you think I was going to... You
no
were scared?
Idea. I'm like, what the heck is she going to say?
He was scared. Because it's like, God forbid we both are not here. Like, that's going to be a huge weight on someone we love.
Yeah.
On our kids, like... I've seen these horrible TikTok videos where kids say, like, their parents died and they're like, we can't even grieve because we have headaches about all of these legal stuff. And I'm like, I don't want to be that. So, babe, put a date to it.
So I think we did put a date to it.
We did, and I think it passed.
It was on your calendar.
So that we can come and tell you guys, like, we're working on it. We're doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like seems overwhelming if we've never done it before. Because to be honest, to me, I'm like, I don't even know where to start. Because I don't think anyone has told us. So does this seem overwhelming to you? Like this unknown? How are you going to navigate it?
No, I think we just got to do it.
But where do we go?
Dave Ramsey has a service for it.
Okay, so we go to Dave Ramsey.
Yeah.
He's the one we go to for help.
Yeah, for everything.
Because I think that's a big thing for people too. And we've talked about it when it comes to liability. Mm-hmm. It's not... I don't think anyone hears it and says, I want to be a liability. Like, that's going to be me. But they are confronted with, like, your whole life has to change. And they're just like, oh, my goodness, how do I even do that? Like, where do I even start? Like, it's so overwhelming. And that's how you see it in the school system, too. Like, it's so much information. And they're like, what's the point? It paralyzes them. I'm already behind this many percentage. Like, I'm an F. I can't get up to an A. That huge jump is not doable. And so I think it starts there. And there was actually a study in one of my professional developments that it says their like feeling of accomplishment does get defined in school. Like, how do they think they could do with deadlines, and if they feel like incompetent, then they carry that through their whole life. And it's sad because that paralyzes a lot of people. But I'm hoping, kind of going back, like, that our demographic, it's just like, we're normal people. I did not graduate with straight A's. I wanted to. I was kind of close. Like, you didn't. Like, it doesn't take superheroes or, I don't know what you think society looks like a success. Like, it just takes one step at a time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what this podcast is, that you can be better one, as corny as it sounds, one episode, one decision at a time. And I have this huge vision, and I'm just going to throw it out there. My husband has no idea what I'm going to say. That I see, because I know what it feels like to be, for me, it was financial goals. I see a number in the, not a thousands, but like 20,000 or anything with like the double digits in the thousands. And I'm like, that, I cannot reach it. That it seems huge. It paralyzes me where I'm like, what's the point? Like, I'm like, everyone has debt. You start justifying it. What's my debt? I'm just going to be like them. And you find comfort of knowing you're the majority. And if they're living like that, you live like that, nothing can happen to you. Right. Mm-hmm. But the matter is, no, they're in stress. You're going to be in stress. You're going to have the crappy life that most Americans are living. And it took like small baby steps for me to realize, oh, this is chippable. This mm-hmm. is doable. I can slowly like get rid of this. And I'm telling you guys, my husband is amazing. And I'm putting this out there because God knows it's a prayer in my heart. I've been praying about it. I would love one day. So right now he does like the financial
coaching
where he'll take your goals and make it baby steps. But I'm putting like for every area of life that, like, I know you're not an expert in anything, but you're very good at telling people, okay, what is your goal? Let me just keep you accountable. Let me check in one day at a time, 1 week at a time, 1 month at a time. Let's make this bite size, whether that's in your relationship with your marriage, whether that's your Bible walk of like whatever it is. So I'm hoping one day that we're like, we're going to do these services. And you said maybe when we hit the year mark or something that we'll consider. But I think that's what people need. People need to know that it's doable. People need faith. Mm-hmm. I think if you have faith, like that's what you need. But I think they have told themselves, the devil has accused them of saying like, you're stuck here. Look at your parents, look at their parents, look at you, look at your friends, look at society. And I've seen so many people like, oh, it's my job sucks. I'm just stuck here. I can't do anything. And there is power in your tongue. And if you start believing it, you start declaring it, that's where your actions are going to go. So I say it needs a little bit of faith and bite-sized portions. What do you think they require?
Well, first, I'd like to say that the whole like responsibility versus liability. As you were talking, I was thinking about like what would make a person let go of that responsibility and therefore become a liability. And I just think about like, there's some people that might be really affected by their parents, that their parents, like, not whatever, this is my life. I was a kid. I would get A plus first semester, second semester in the same subject. I'd go down to B. My mom would be like, what the heck? You got an A in the first semester. Now you went down to a B. And that was like, what the heck? I thought B was still good though. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't be happy for a B. And my mom was like, no, you started at A. I expect an A always. And I remember there was a switch in my head that went, I know exactly what to do. I'm not going to go all out in the first semester. I'm going to mediocre it on the first semester and then try it at the last semester, because the psychology, like I thought about it, like I didn't think about it in depth as like, you know, a mature mind would, but I was like, obviously it's very basic psychology. You start low and you go high. The psychology is, oh, there was improvement. Mm. He worked harder. Like, you know, this is where his baseline was, but he ended up here. For some parents, it's not about how you start. It's about how you finish. And if you don't finish strong, they're like, what the heck? And so I feel like, especially in the Hispanic community, you know, you came to a new country. Now you start imposing like what you wish you could have done on those kids. And those kids are like, that's a lot of pressure. And some of them can't handle it. Some of them, again, like every kid is unique. So you can't really parent each kid the same way.
Yeah.
But I mean, Hispanics that, you know, come from, you know, third world countries that, you know, maybe had a bunch of siblings or whatever, like didn't get like the proper like parenting or education or the proper, you know, mentoring or whatever, like they're trying the best they can. And like, no, like, you guys, I came here, sacrificed all this stuff. I jumped this border or whatever, came here. And now you guys are going to bust your butt and you're going to appreciate what I did for you. And the kids, like, have no idea really what, they don't understand what you did. Mm. You know, they might try to understand, but they might not understand. And they're feeling this pressure. And it's just like, for some people, it's really hard to handle. And maybe I am striking a chord with some people that are just like, yeah, like I resonate with that. And that's why, like, I feel like I just let it go, because it's easier to let it go than to try to live up to the standard where I'm still trying my best and maybe I didn't hit the mark. But homeboy, homegirl, mom, dad, like, I'm trying my best.
Yeah.
Like, and my best is not good enough for you, then why try at all? You know? So I can understand those people that go, hey, that's why. Like, I just let it go. Like, I'd rather not, you know? So there's many factors as to why somebody might be there. But I also want to say there's some liabilities. You should never be purposely a liability, meaning, like, let go of responsibility. I'm like, oh, whatever, it's forgetting about my health or whatever. You should never be that. But can God use a liability? Can God use you hitting rock bottom for you to be like, I never want to be here again?
Yeah.
And so, like, I heard a podcast today. It was Patrick Bet David, and it was The Rock. And The Rock was telling the story of, he remembers at 15, he was living in Hawaii with his family. The place that we're living at, it was only about $248 a month, and they got evicted. At 15 years old, he said he will never forget that. And from that moment on, there was a drive in him that said, I'm going to figure out a way where we never have to deal with this again. Like, even though it wasn't his fault, like, that was his rock bottom where he said, I never want to be back here again. And some people that have become liabilities, some people may need to hit that rock bottom. Like, the hope is that you guys hear something like this and go like, oh, like, I need to reflect and I need to change and flip the switch that we always talk about, right? But there's some people that just, like, I don't know, like, you need to lose your wife, your kids, like not lose them, like, permanently, but, like, you know, like, just realize, like, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, and then have that switch and be like, my life needs to change. I can't keep going like this.
Yeah.
Some people need that, but also what the hope is, and I hope that you guys feel the hope, is for you guys to reflect upon this episode, what you guys are hearing right now, and reflect, like, am I being a liability? Have I let go of responsibility? Have I let fear really just scare me out of really stepping up? And have I let the size of the mountain scare me out of, you know, just letting it go? And it's exactly what you said. And we've talked about it many times here, the atomic habits. It only takes 1%. And maybe some people do need that coaching of like, hey, okay, what's your goal? Okay, here's your goal. Okay, this is the mountain, right? First of all, you're no longer alone. I'm your coach. I'm going to walk with you. Mm. We're going to take these steps together. And I'm also going to show you, like, A, that I've been there before, and B, that if you do 1% every single day, we said at the end of 365 days, you are multiples ahead of where you started. Multiples. Like, that's 100-fold times 100-fold, like, many multiples ahead. And some people just, I think they see the mountain and they don't understand, like, that they can get up there. Like, I think some might think, like, oh, there's a requirement upon me that I get on top of this mountain within a month.
Yeah,
it's like, it's not necessarily that way. The whole point, especially the way that I coach, is it's all about longevity. It's a lifestyle change. Like, yeah, however you were living before is not how you should be living in the future. And so we're going to do these 1%, and it's going to be minuscule. Let's talk about health. Somebody's eating 3,000 calories a day. That's a lot, especially if you're not doing whatchamacallit. If you're not doing exercise and stuff, that's a lot. And somebody might think, like, oh, like, you want me to be healthy? That means I have to shave it down to, like, 1,500 and I have to start doing 3-hour workouts. It's like, no. The whole point is longevity. So here's that mountain. You want to, let's say, lose 100 pounds, but not only lose 100 pounds, but keep a healthy lifestyle for the rest of your life. Here's how we're going to do it. Okay. What's your baseline? Your baseline is 3,000 calories. All right. We're going to let you eat 3,000 calories, and we're going to add in 10 minutes of some sort of exercise, something that gets your heart rate up to like at least 135, 140. Okay. We're going to let you leave you there for 2 weeks. People go like, you're going to let me eat 3,000 calories still? Like, I still can enjoy myself? Like, yeah. But just know that little by little, that's going to be changing.
Yeah.
2 weeks go by. All right. Your 3,000 calories, we're going to bring it down to, let's say, 2,900 calories. So you shave 100. Those 100, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to feel it. You're not going to be like, oh my gosh, I'm starving. But you just shaved 100 calories, and then we're going to up to 11 minutes of working out. And little by little, you make those small, tiny changes, and you get up to maybe an hour of working out months down the road, and you get down to like a healthier, maybe 2,000 calorie diet. And as you made those small changes, they were never like, oh my gosh, what a huge change. It's tiny little changes, because the whole point is, we've talked about it from Atomic Habits, if it becomes too hard, if it becomes about just sheer willpower, 9 times out of 10, you're going to fail.
Yeah.
So you have to like almost trick your mind of like, this isn't hard at all. We're shaving 100 calories. What is that? Like 10 grams of rice? Like that's like this much of rice? Yeah, I could give that up. There's no problem. Like, and you don't feel it. And as you're making this progress, you don't feel it. And you're creating these new cycles, this new almost like a brainwave. And you're creating this lifestyle. And before you know it, it's part of who you are. Mm-hmm. After you've practiced it for 90 days, 120 days, for half a year, you're just like, oh, now it feels weird if I don't work out. Now it feels weird, like, if I don't try to progress. Like, it becomes easier to progress and get on top of that mountain when it's just one tiny step at a time.
I love that, because that's the opposite of that is how we got there in the first place. Mm-hmm. Like, that we realized, like, oh my gosh, what have I done in my life? I've done nothing. It was slowly, those slow, tiny steps they don't even notice. And so now you have to reverse it and just be intentional about those tiny steps. Because I always say, you're going one way or the other in life. There's no way you're not moving. You're not dead yet. And go ahead.
I was just going to say that same formula works for everything.
Yeah.
For finances, save $1 at a time. For marriage, you know, have one conversation at a time.
For God.
Like, for God. Yeah.
People can't sit in solitude for a long time.
That formula works for everything.
Yeah.
For everything. I truly believe there is nothing that nobody can't do.
Yeah.
It's just, are you willing to wait the time? Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's a killer for people, but I think if we can get people's minds, and crazy enough, I'm reading this book called The Story That Stick. And if we can get people to believe the story of me doing this little by little is better than the time that I'm waiting. Because the time that I'm waiting, for a lot of people, the patience is like killer for them. They want it now. But it's like the realization, like, oh, he's gonna, like, we're gonna get here and we're doing it little by little, where I don't, like, I feel like that, people embrace that, and it's like that, it's like a big gulp of hope of like, I could do this. This isn't hard at all.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, so it translates into every aspect of life.
I totally agree. And I want to say this last thing to close off, because I think it is important, as you were saying, like the differences of liability. I don't want people to think that at one point we need to rely on it, people. Mm-hmm. And that isn't, quote unquote, mean we're a liability.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's a very good point.
That's not what we're saying here. Like, there's a point where you give birth and you're vulnerable and you need someone, or someone passed away and you need someone, or we're all going to get old and we're going to need people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's not being a liability. That's just life. That's how God created us, to not do life alone. I think the main difference is, at that point, our weaknesses, our vulnerabilities, become blessing. Like people are blessed to help us and they mm-hmm. receive blessings in return. And I think God is so beautiful that he turns everything for his good, because there's a point where someone's weak and you help them out and you feel blessed. Like you feel like I'm giving to them and God, only God can repay me. And it's beautiful, versus when you're a liability and you got there, like how we said, like purposefully, like you're a drug addict and then you just like suck life from people. Mm-hmm. And I don't want people to think like, oh, I'm a liability because maybe you were born with an autoimmune disease or you just went through something difficult and you need to rely on people. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want this message for people to be like, oh my gosh, I'm a liability and I suck. Like, that's not.
That's very good clarification.
What I'm saying. I think there's something how we said that you yourself chose and there are consequences that we have to live up with. Mm-hmm. And there's things that God gives us. It is our, it's like Paul's like thorn in his side, that it's part of life and it shows us how we need people to rely on and we're not strong. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. God is going to use that too. And so I just wanted to end it with that.
Yeah.
Let's do what we can do and leave God the rest.
Yes.
And regardless, God will be glorified through it all if we rely on him. Mm-hmm. But I hope you guys, the whole point of this conversation is to ruffle feathers, is to shake, and it's to be like, okay, I can't stay in this path. I'm hoping I move people one step at a time. Like that's my goal here. Cause I say this time and time again, you guys, it's crazy that like if you flashed back a year from now or even 2 years from now, like my life would look completely different. And it's like, if my life can look like this in 1 year, in 2 years, like I'm excited for my future. And that's such great joy to have that I want everyone to feel, like where you're excited. But it takes you like steps. You don't get there accidentally.
Yeah.
And I want everyone to experience that. And so please let us know in any way, how can we help? Let us know how we can help, whether that's another podcast, whether it's going into our DMs, reaching out to my coach over here. Let us know. That's why we're here. And that's why we do this, because we have a passion to help people. Mm-hmm. And thank you guys once again for tuning in. It's so awesome hearing you guys stay for this long, because I know it's not just a small task. And so we hope that this was a blessing. Please like, comment, share it. Subscribe if you haven't already. And we'll see you on the next one, which will be our 30th.
Yes.
Bye.
See ya.